the Word of God and to maybe help you reflect on Christmas just a little bit. If I can get my sermon pulled up there. They think they have all kinds of power back there, and they do. That's the problem. I want to think on these three words this morning. You think, well, you got a shot of getting out of here on time with three words. Ponder the present. Ponder the present. We don't use that word ponder very much in our English language anymore, do we? There are probably some young people here that don't have a clue what the word ponder means. If you're from the South, you probably understand what the word ponder means. You know, I'm going to go over yonder and ponder. You get it. And if you're my age or older, you probably know what the word ponder means. You understand that used to be a word in the English language. Maybe you remember it from your high school days, The Raven. It's in the opening line of Edgar Allan Poe's poem, The Raven. Once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered weak and weary. Maybe you have quoted that. As you think about something, there is a word synonymous to the word ponder. According to the vocabulary.com, the definition of ponder is to reflect deeply on a subject. I actually think that in the United States of America, we think less and less deeply. That the reality is we have gotten into a situation where everything is so fast-paced, everything, technology moves so quickly. We have now technology that does a lot of thinking for us. We don't need to think. I read recently that there is a new thing that they're actually very concerned about medically, and it's called cell phone dementia. It's a real thing. I'm not joking, because when you put in all of those contacts into your smartphone and no longer rely on your memory to recall all of those numbers and names and connect them together, you begin to forget. You don't ponder anything anymore, hardly. We don't reflect deeply on any subject. Everything is run through very quickly or run through a computer. I was interested, years ago I went down to a seminar where one of the renowned pastors of our time was asked, how do you put a sermon together? And he said, well, I'll tell you what I don't do. I don't use a computer, ever. He says, I handwrite everything out. I study, because if I tried using a computer, and what happened was my mind got going so fast that I didn't stop and think about what was going on in the Word of God. It just flew out really quickly, and there was no deep meditation or deep reflecting on the Word of God, so I stopped, and I go to the Word of God, I go to my Greek, I go to the Hebrew, and I sit there and handwrite everything out and contemplate the Word of God. There's some value in that. This word to ponder is often associated in Scripture with Mary. I won't take the time to point out a number of places, but I will point out one. In Luke's account account of the birth of Christ, after the birth of Christ, in Luke chapter 2, it says that Mary kept all of these things and pondered them in her heart. and pondered them in her heart. The word them, you'll notice, is in italics. Actually, the verse reads, that is supplied to help us to understand, but it really reads, and Mary kept all of these things and pondered in her heart. Within her deep resources of her inner being, she thought about all that was going on. In other words, she thought about things. She chewed on them like a cow chews its cud over and over again. She thought through all that had transpired, going over and over them in her mind. She meditated on all that had just happened. And folks, there certainly was a lot to ponder on. I mean, if you go back and recognize that for 9 months, Mary had been on a remarkable journey. She had been approached by an angel. How many of you, don't show me your hands, I don't really want to know. How many of you have ever been approached by an angel? Startling it would be, I'll tell you that, especially for us regular Baptists. It would really be startling. For an angel to come and to give her the message that he gave her. First of all, he told her, Mary, you're favored by God. How wonderful that would be. Wouldn't you like to know that you are favored by God? Most of us who name the name of Christ long to hear the words when we get to heaven, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But the truth of the matter is, there Mary was, and she got this special visitor who gave her a special message, the first of which was, don't be afraid, I bring you tidings of good joy. You're favored of God. And then he explained to her that she was going to have the Messiah. Now, Mary was a typical Jewish young lady. She had heard, undoubtedly, the prophecies of the coming Messiah, and she had heard that Messiah would be virgin-born. But ladies, that's pretty remarkable news, isn't it? Even if you expected it to come, that it would come to you. And then not understanding the pure biology of it, because she knew she was a virgin. How in the world, despite being a virgin, could a baby come out of her? What a sign. The angel had given Mary some explanation, and he even gave her some encouragement. If you remember last week, we talked about he encouraged her to go to Elizabeth, a relative of Mary's that was, well, to be frank, well beyond childbearing years. And yet she was expecting. That was remarkable. And Mary pondered that and put that into the equation. And she returned to Nazareth just before Elizabeth gave birth. It was obvious that Elizabeth was going to give birth to John, the forerunner of Christ. She returned to Nazareth, and she had to ponder that. Can you imagine being there in Nazareth? As she became, it became more and more obvious that she was expecting. Can you imagine what people were saying? what people were thinking. You know, in our present day, nobody would even notice. No one would notice. But in this day, this was a stonable offense. To be pregnant before you were married, under Jewish law, was a stonable offense. And Mary pondered that, I am certain, because the Word of God says she took all of this in and kept it in her heart and pondered. Do you ever think that Mary, we don't have any record of it in the Bible, but do you ever think that Mary got to a point when she, before the angel Gabriel appeared to Joseph, she got to a point where she wondered if Joseph was going to have anything to do with her? And then Joseph, because of the direction of Gabriel the angel, took her as his wife. He kept her as a virgin. She wasn't stoned. She wasn't rejected. She was accepted. She was favored by God. That was all whirling around in her mind. And then, at what seemed like the most inappropriate time ever to be imagined, right before she was due, Caesar Augustus put out an order that everybody should go to their home city for a census, probably so that he could tax them a little more. And as it were, Joseph was from that city of Bethlehem. His family line came from there, and so that is where he had to return. And strangely enough, under God's providence of the prophets, that is exactly where the Messiah was prophesied to be born. As we saw through the cantata this morning, no room in the inn. No room. Go to the stable. A baby. How many of you ladies would like to give birth in a stable? With a bunch of animals, where you clean out the manger, you put fresh hay, and that's where you lay your newborn baby. I saw a cartoon yesterday. The cow was talking to the donkey, looking at the manger with baby Jesus in it. Oh, look, there's a baby in our salad. And Mary was thinking about all that was going on. She was pondering it. She was pondering those Old Testament prophecies. She was pondering the visit of the shepherds. They had come and they had already testified of the heavenly host. Can you imagine that? Why are you here? Well, angels told us this was happening. Those shepherds came and worshiped, and then they went off praising God, proclaiming the good news. The Messiah had been born. Common people doing a very normal job in that day and age. And then to look at that baby in a manger, and to be told by the angel that that would be the Savior of the world, and to ponder that. This time of year, you've probably heard it if you listen to any Christian music at all. Mary, Did You Know? Mark Lowry's song. Wondering, Mary, did you know that the very babe was the Son of God? That he would rule and reign, that he would save our sons and daughters. I think Mary knew a lot. She was sitting there pondering, taking it all in. There were certainly events worth pondering. And it is something worth pondering even today. It is the story of the birth of Christ and why he came is worth thinking about. It's worth thinking about more than just at Christmas. Why did this all happen? Most of you know it happened because of the fall of mankind. God's eternal plan of redemption set before the foundation of the world, in which God knew mankind would choose to go against him and mankind would need a Savior. And the only possible way for there to be a Savior, for there to be hope, was for that Savior to enter into humanity, take upon himself flesh, live a sinless life, go to the cross and pay for sin's penalty. The English word present, ponder the present, has many different definitions. It could mean a lot of different things. It can be talking about current attendance. You are present here today. You are in attendance. I remember back when I was in school, teachers used to call roll call. I don't know if they still do that, but they used to when I was there. Johnny, and you'd hear here. Bobby, here. Sally, here. Priscilla. With a name like Priscilla, you would hear this. Present. Present. My thought was, well, isn't she sophisticated? That means you're currently in the room, right? Or it could be a current period of time. Or it could be a tense in the English language. Past, present, future. Think about a perfect tense in English language. I mean a present tense in the English language. You could be reading a story that somebody wrote 10 years ago and it's in the present tense. It means it's happening in the present at the time it was written. Or the word present, if you say it differently, present, putting an emphasis on a different syllable, could mean to present or give something like a speech or a reward. President Trump presented the Congressional Medal of Honor to Earl Lassiter today. Lots of different ways to define present, but the one we think about the most this time of year is it is a gift. A present, something freely given, which didn't cost the recipient a bloomin' thing. How many of you have made a list of what you want for Christmas? Kids, I know you have. Undoubtedly, if you're a parent, you have made a list of what to get the kids for Christmas. There's been a lot of focus on the presents. But when we say ponder the present, what is the present we are talking about here? You may give the Sunday school answer, Jesus. He is the present. And you would be right, yes and no. There is no doubt that Jesus is a gift from God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus is a present to us. But that's not the present we're talking about. Not here. You say, well, James tells us every good and every perfect gift comes from down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. That sounds like Jesus. Well, he is included. Every good and perfect gift. He certainly was good. He certainly was perfect. And he certainly was given. But I want you to think about this verse. While Jesus certainly is a present, Romans 6:23 tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, well, here it is, the gift of God is what? Eternal life. Through or in Jesus Christ our Lord. So what's the gift there? The gift is eternal life. That's the gift. What we deserved was stated in that as well. We deserved our wages. What we had coming was death or separation from God. Do you want to be paid? I don't think so. But the gift of God is eternal life. The King James tells us, through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's interesting, because it tells us a truth that we can find elsewhere in Scripture, that Jesus was the payment for the present. The present was eternal life. Jesus was the one who paid for it, bought by him with his own life. A lot of people reject that gift. Maybe you're here today because you're appeasing somebody. They invited you to come, so you came. But you don't really believe that. Imagine, though, how offended you would be if you gave somebody a gift and they rejected it. I don't want that. Maybe you'd spend a lot of money or spend a lot of time. Maybe you'd poured your life into it. Maybe you had searched all over the globe for it to buy it for them. And they simply said, nah. Or how offended you would be if they said, well, okay, thank you, but let me pay part of it for him. Let me give you some money, or let me get there. Let me buy the gift. I don't want you to give it to me. I want to buy it. You'd be offended, wouldn't you? Because a gift is something freely given, and it must be freely received. You can't reject it. You can reject it. You can reject it. But you can't purchase it. You can't go in with God on it. What do I mean by that? Well, this gift has to be a gift. It has to be freely given. It has to be freely received. You can't purchase eternal life by working your way in. Titus 3, 5, and 6 is one of a number of verses that points that out. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us. Ephesians, it's Ephesians, not Romans, 2, 8, and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't go in with God. In other words, you can't say, well, God gives the law, and if I keep the law, then the two of us, he gave it, and I kept it, and therefore I'm saved. That's going in with God. Together we purchased that gift of eternal life. That's wrong. Romans 8. For in Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit has set you free from the law of sin and death. Notice that the law there in that verse is powerless. What the law could not do, Christ did. He bought it. He paid for it. The law has never saved anyone. That doesn't mean it's not, doesn't have value. Just never has saved anyone. The present has a purpose. The reality is, it is a present you desperately need. If you've never received it, you desperately need it. And like all other gifts, you should receive it. But for you as Christians, keep this in mind. It should not be laid aside. It should not be misused. It should not be abused. Verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them, do them. In other words, how many of you have seen a kid take a present that you've given to them? It cost you a great deal. You scoured the globe for it. They opened it and went, how could he have a present? Played with it for 2.5 seconds and then threw it away. And played with the box. The reality is, I think there are a lot of Christians out there that view their relationship with Christ, that present, the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, in that respect. I'm saved, I know I'm going to heaven, I'm trusting in Jesus, the finished work of Jesus on the cross. I don't have to do anything because salvation isn't by works. Well, this verse slaps you aside the face. You're not saved by works, you're not saved by keeping the law, you can't be saved that way. You can only be saved through the gift. The payment has already been made for that gift. But you're saved for a reason. You're saved to serve and to minister and to live within the body of Christ, to proclaim the glory of God. Let me jump to this verse and we'll close with this. Psalm 96, verses 1 through 3. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Praise his name. Proclaim his salvation. Day after day, declare his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. That is our calling, Christians. That goes right in hand in step with the Great Commission, the command, you will be witnesses of me. So what are you doing? If you have the gift of eternal life, praise God. What are you doing with it? If you don't have the gift of God, it is wrapped and ready for you to receive, bought and paid for in full by the Lord Jesus Christ with his very life. Our gracious Heavenly Father, I ask that you would, through the Holy Spirit of God, work in every heart here today. That you would draw those who are yours closer to yourself, that you would move and work and challenge them to live in light of the gift that they have, the gift of eternal life.